Hello, my name's Dr. Sandra Cabot. I've been a medical doctor for over 40 years and I have a special research interest in the liver. Today I'm going to talk to you about how to pick up any early signs of liver disease and also how to reverse it. And I'm joined by nutritionist Louise Bell. Hi, Louise.
Hi, everyone.
And Louise is going to tell us some fabulous food ideas. Easy food ideas, by the way.
Yeah.
So we don't want to stress you out because otherwise that'll lead you to eat the wrong things for your liver. But Louise is an excellent cook as well as a nutritionist. And she does a lot of research on the liver with me as well. And we're up to date with all the latest things. So she's going to tell you what things you can have for breakfast or snacks or dinner that could replace something unhealthy. Now, when we look at liver disease today, we see the most common cause is fatty liver. Indeed, that's from people eating too much sugar, not eating too much fat. They're just eating too much carbohydrate, which gets turned into sugar in their blood, and that gets turned into fat in their liver. Whereas healthy fat, that doesn't get turned into fat in your liver unless you overeat huge amounts. But a lot of people with a fatty liver don't overeat. They just eat the wrong things and they get tired and they don't move enough. But we really need to be more aware of our liver because liver disease is on the rise among middle-aged Americans. But many people haven't got a clue they've got a liver problem. It's a bit like the forgotten organ. And sometimes it's not picked up by doctors either. They tend to forget it, not just the patient. And there may be no signs or symptoms at all to alert you to the fact that your liver is unhealthy. Now, there was a very interesting report in September 2017, published by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And this report found that death rates for chronic liver disease rose nearly one third amongst people aged 45 to 64 since the year 2000. Now, those people are not what you would say old in the context of today, where people hopefully will live till they're 90. And these people are still in the prime of their life, but one third increase in liver disease in this age group is very bad. Also, cases of liver cancer rose more than 20%. So that's more than a fifth in the United States since the year 1990. And yet, people are not checking their liver. They're not aware of the signs and symptoms that there could be something wrong with their liver. And a very simple test is a blood test to check your liver enzymes. If they're high, then you should have an ultrasound scan of your liver, which is an inexpensive, safe test, and that will show any irregular texture in the liver or fat buildup in the liver. Another thing, too, that 1 in 30 baby boomers, now I'm a baby boomer, so I was around when the hippie era was there, I was there before heroin became trendy, and you know, a lot of people did silly things in the 60s, which caused them to be infected by the hepatitis C virus. Now, 1 in 30 baby boomers has been infected with hepatitis C. That's a lot, wow, 1 in 30. And a lot of them don't know they've got it. So everyone who is a baby boomer, particularly if they're tired or they have elevated liver enzymes, should be checked for infection with the hepatitis C virus. Because we have drugs that can cure it now. This is a breakthrough, and definitely, you know, why not check yourself if there is a drug that can cure you? And hepatitis C and also hepatitis B virus greatly increases your risk of liver cancer. But there's a lot of studies that show that if you take selenium daily, that this can reduce the risk by over one third. So that has a preventative effect against liver cancer in people who are infected with the hepatitis B and C virus. And the studies are published in my free ebook on selenium, which is titled The Great Protector. Now, another thing that we're going to talk about with Louise is what you can do to reverse a fatty liver. And this is so important for you to know because around 100 million people in the United States of America have fatty liver disease. Yes, that's right, it's a disease. Some doctors go, oh, well, you know, don't worry about it. I've got a fatty liver too. There's a lot of doctors around. They don't look after themselves. They're workaholics and they don't know how to look after the liver anyway. Doctors are more educated in drugs. But I'm a doctor who, as well as being a medical doctor, I've always believed in using herbs, vitamins, minerals, raw juicing, things like that to reverse disease, particularly to make your cells healthy again. So if you're one of the 100 million people in the United States with a fatty liver, you need to do something about it. And you can reverse it. And this is important because fatty liver will increase your risk of cirrhosis. That's what we worry about. You know, you can go along your whole life with a fatty liver or an inflamed liver from hepatitis or drinking too much alcohol and you'll get away with it. But once you've got advanced cirrhosis, you need a liver transplant. There's a big shortage of livers available to be transplanted. So Louise, you know, we're looking at people perhaps who have a fatty liver or they've got liver inflammation from too much alcohol or from autoimmune disease where they're just allergic to gluten or preservatives, something like that. And they're really confused, you know. They think they're doing the right thing. They read different things and they go to a dietitian and they may be told, oh, you've got to do this and that. And there's so much differing opinions on the internet.
There is.
Yeah. So we'd like to give you our ideas. And our ideas have been researched in clinical trials. And we've been looking after people with liver problems for 30 years. So I think we know how to do it by now.
I think so.
So now here we are. We've got someone who is suffering with a fatty liver, they're feeling sluggish, tired, overweight, or they've got liver inflammation from a virus or drinking too much. What would be a good thing for them to have for breakfast?
Okay, well, I think firstly, they really need to steer clear of eating toast with jam for breakfast. It's very common for people to just get up in the morning, eat a piece of toast and then leave.
Yeah.
Maybe have a coffee with sugar. That's not going to do you any favours as a lot of refined carbohydrates, and that's just going to convert to sugar in your blood and make your liver even more fatty. So you need to focus on having good protein and good fat in the morning for breakfast. So
yeah.
Something that's really quick and easy is eggs. You can even cook them up the night before if you want to boil them,
yeah.
Or you can just scramble them in a pan really quickly with a few vegetables, and there you have it, a healthy breakfast. It's high in protein and good fats. It's going to sustain you, so you're not going to feel like you need a snack at 10 o'clock because it's going to satisfy your appetite, and that's going to be really beneficial for you. And
yes.
Even better, eggs contain sulfur, and the liver
yes.
needs sulfur to detox properly. So having eggs in the morning is really good. Another option, if you don't really like to have a heavy breakfast in the morning, is just making a raw vegetable juice. So you can put things like spinach, kale, lemons, oranges, apples, broccoli, you know, any vegetable you can think of, really, even some garlic in there, and that's going to really give you a big boost of antioxidants.
What about adding pea protein?
Yeah, you can mix pea protein in it.
With a juice, yeah.
With a juice or even in a smoothie if you want to keep all of the fiber in there. Just blend it all up in a blender or a food processor and make a smoothie. Mix some protein powder in there or add a handful of nuts or seeds, things like almonds, walnuts, chia seeds, pepitas.
How long does that take?
Sunflower
to
seeds.
To put all that in a blender and, you know, blend it up so it's a soup.
A couple of minutes, not even.
Yeah.
And what you can do is the night before, you can put all of the ingredients in a jar. So a bit of fruit, some spinach, some nuts and seeds, and a bit of water. And then in the morning, you blend it. So that's literally 30 seconds out of your day. So it's really, really easy. It's not time consuming, and it's going to really nourish your body, support your liver, and keep you nice and healthy.
Now, what if someone says, oh, what if it's a Sunday morning and I'm craving something exotic like pancakes? How could they make a healthy pancake?
Okay, well, I actually make healthy pancakes. So one of my favourite recipes is you just use some protein powder, so pea protein powder, for example, and you mix that with some eggs, some chia seeds, and some mashed banana.
Whole eggs? Yeah. And how do you mix it, in a blender?
You just mash it up. So I just get a bowl and a fork and I mash usually one or two bananas with one or two eggs, tablespoon of chia seeds, and some protein powder, maybe a quarter of a cup, and mix that all together. And you let it sit for a while and it thickens. And then that makes quite a few pancakes, usually about, five. And you can just have that for breakfast. You can top it with some Greek yogurt or some nut butter, some berries, whatever you please, really. But it's delicious and it's healthy, which is always a bonus.
And you could put some Greek yogurt on it.
Yeah, nice. Greek yogurt.
Or coconut yogurt or coconut cream.
Yeah, that would be really nice with coconut cream.
That sounds exotic. I'll have to try that. And you could have a nice coffee with it, because coffee is not bad as long as you don't overdose, but 2 or 3 cups of coffee a day is fine, because coffee beans have a lot of antioxidants.
Yes, so as long as you're not adding the sugar in there or the flavoured syrups, then coffee's okay.
Yeah, that's right. You can't add the flavoured syrup. So you better, if you want to have a coffee and you think, oh, I'd like something a little bit sweet, to have some dark chocolate with it.
Yeah, dark chocolate is good. So you can just mix that through it and it's going to taste like a mocha. Yeah. But a healthy version.
Well, if I was making that pancake, I would put it in a blender, because I'm not very good at mixing things.
Oh, really? Well, you could do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I usually.
But it comes out nice and smooth, consistency.
Yeah, it does. When you cook it, you just fry it in the pan and it comes out like a
pancake. What do you fry it in? What kind of oil?
I usually use coconut oil or olive oil or butter.
Yeah, butter's good.
I do like frying in butter, admittedly.
Yes. Pancakes, yum. Okay, any other ideas, or you think that's enough?
Well, another idea that I had was making your own protein toast. So this might sound a bit far-fetched, but it's actually very easy. So if you just buy some almond meal, which is basically just crushed up almonds, you mix that with some nuts and seeds, things like chia seeds, flax seeds, pepitas, and you can actually blend that in a food processor so it breaks down, or you can just chop them up if you like, you know, a more gritty texture, and you mix that with some eggs and a bit of baking soda, and you can actually, bake it in the oven, and it creates a loaf of bread, and you just slice it up and freeze it. So when you feel like a piece of toast for breakfast or as a snack, then you've got it there, and it's high in protein, it's high in good fats, but it doesn't have all of those refined carbohydrates that are going to affect your liver negatively.
Yeah. Now, what about lunch? You know, people are often in a hurry, they're working, there's a microwave at the office, everybody zaps their food, and you know, it's really a hard time for people, I think, to try and eat healthy, working people. So what tips do you have?
Well, one of the things that I like to make for lunch, which is really easy, is a frittata. So I put lots of vegetables, so things like zucchini, broccoli, tomato, sweet potato, pumpkin, onion and garlic. I always use loads of that. Brussels sprouts, these kind of vegetables, mixed with some egg, and I just layer it, put it in the oven, and then I cut it up into portions, and then I take that for my lunch.
Yeah.
And it keeps me full.
So they're delicious. Cooked vegetables, yeah.
Yeah. So I just layer
them in the oven.
In the oven. So I layer the vegetables in the pan, and then I top it with the egg, and then bake it. And it's really easy because the preparation time is, 5 or 10 minutes maximum. And then I put it in the oven, and I usually get quite a few portions out of it, and then I just take that for lunch. And I prefer to eat it cold anyway, so you don't even need a microwave it. You can just eat it as it is.
And then also leftovers. What about that?
Yeah, well, things like soups and stews are great to take the next day for lunch. You can make these up in bulk, so just, double or quadruple your recipe and make big batches of soups and stews, because these are really nourishing, and you can actually divide them up into containers and store them in your freezer. So if you're running late one day and you think, oh gosh, I'm going to have to get McDonald's for lunch or, another kind of fast food, you don't actually. You can just go to the freezer, get out a soup, and then take it to work with you. It'll defrost, you can heat it up in the microwave, or eat it cold if you like cold soup. And that's a nutritious lunch that's not going to
spike
your blood sugar or make your liver fatty.
And look, a lot of people are trying to avoid bread because, you know, bread has got gluten generally and it's high in carbs.
Mm-hmm.
You have to really shop around for a low-carb bread. In Australia, there's one called protein bread, which is just made with seeds and nuts and whey protein, and it's very, very low carb. But in general, if somebody wants something that tastes like bread, they would have to look for that low-carb bread, which is grain-free.
Yeah, yeah, you would, because most regular bread is really high in carbohydrates.
Yes.
But like I said, they can make their own, so...
Make their own bread.
Yeah, make their own bread, like I said, with the almond meals and the nuts and seeds, and then just store that in the freezer.
So do you need a bread maker?
No. Oh. No, you just stir it up and then put it in a tray or a tin, bread tin, and then bake it in the oven. I've made it without a bread maker, so.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to see that recipe in one of the newsletters.
Okay.
And I know another thing I often see you do, Louise, is to use, you wrap a burger in a lettuce leaf.
Yes. Yeah. So that's a really easy way to cut down on your carbs and to still, you know, feel as though you're having that cheat meal or that naughty meal, but it's not going to be as harmful. So you can have your meat patty or your veggie patty, all of some beetroot, carrot, lettuce, tomato, whatever else you like to put on it. And then you just wrap it in a couple of big lettuce leaves or cabbage leaves.
Mm.
And then that'll hold it all together. And then you can still feel like you're eating that burger, but it's going to be good for you.
That's right. And just imagine while you're eating it that it's a big, fluffy burger.
A big bun.
And then, you know, it's worth it. You're going to find that your blood sugar's better, that your liver improves out of sight. And, you know, for so many people who feel tired and people who are overweight, the reason is it's their liver, and they don't think about it. Like we said, there's often no specific clear symptoms or signs that it is your liver, but over so many years of experience, I've found that you've got to focus on the liver, and then the patient will lose weight. Then they start to improve. Their energy comes back. Their immune system improves. Their skin improves. The liver is the key. Now, what about dinner time? Often people who are working, they get home tired, they get home late, and they grab a takeaway. So what would be best for them to plan ahead?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, again, food prepping. So if you always have those frozen meals in the freezer, so the soups and stews that you make up in advance, it's always really good to just have those there. So if you do get home late and you're too tired to cook, you've got it. Another thing you can do is just keep some tins of tomato in your cupboard, maybe some brown rice and some onions and stuff. And if you always have that on hand, and then in your freezer, if you've got some meat, so some chicken breasts or some mince, then you can make up a quick meal. So you could do a bolognese, for instance. So you've got your tinned tomatoes, you throw that in the pot with your mince, some onion, and then really you can throw a few more veggies in there, but that's a meal
and straight away. And some nice chili if you like it.
Yeah, chili.
What kind of spices would taste nice with that?
I usually put chili herbs, so things like basil and parsley and lots of garlic. I usually put some turmeric as well, some oregano. That's what I usually put in mine.
Yeah, so you've got all those herbs in the cupboard.
Yeah, yeah. So having herbs in the cupboard is really good. So you can make something simple taste delicious just with some herbs and spices.
Yeah, and all these herbs are great for your liver, of course. We know that.
Yeah.
All the spices, the Asian spices, they're very good for your liver. They have antioxidant properties as well as tasting yum. And then the green herbs, you can grow some green herbs like parsley and basil at home, and then you just pick them fresh and just chew on a few.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So
mint.
Easy.
Mint is very cleansing.
Oh, I love mint.
Yeah.
Put it in my salads.
Yeah. Snacks. Now, people, when they get hungry and they think, oh, I just need a quick snack, which is going to be good for my liver.
Okay, well, I always keep nuts and seeds on me at all times because it's a really, you know, quick and easy snack. You can take it anywhere. It doesn't really go off if you've got them sealed correctly. And there, they give you a big boost of energy. So things like almonds, walnuts, Brazil nuts, pepitas, sunflower seeds, macadamias, cashews, you know, keeping a bag of these in your handbag or your desk drawer or in your car even, so you've always got a snack on hand. Or you can take a piece of fruit or make up some veggie sticks. So if you don't like carrot, you can cut up cucumber, capsicum, mushroom, zucchini. You know, there's lots of other vegetables.
Snow peas are nice.
Yeah, snow peas are nice. Mm. Yeah, and you can even take a tub of hummus or tzatziki or something as well if you prefer to dip them in a dip.
Yes.
And they're really good. Or boiled eggs. Boiled eggs are super healthy and you can just cook them all up. So maybe you cook up six at a time, boil them, and then take one to work with you and you can have that as a snack.
Mm.
You can even slice it and put it on some cucumber or, you know, have it with some tomato or just some salt and pepper.
Yep, salt and pepper is very healthy. And you can also make curried eggs.
Yeah.
Boiled eggs.
That's my mum's favourite.
Is it?
Yeah. Oh,
she must have a very healthy liver, your mother.
She makes it in bulk.
Yeah. Curry. Yeah, eggs are boiled and then mashed up with a little bit of Cajun spice and curry powder is very yummy.
Yeah, it is.
For those of us who like a tangy taste.
Yeah, and you can just eat it by itself or you can eat it with some veggie sticks or some brown rice crackers, not too many.
That's right, because rice is a grain and remember, it's high in carb.
Yeah, yeah. So
a lot more veggies and protein and less carbs. That's the key. Well, what else for a snack?
Oh, well, one of my favourites is a chia pudding. So it's really, really easy. All you do is mix a couple of tablespoons of chia seeds with fruit of choice. So I usually use raspberries and either some coconut milk or some coconut cream or almond milk, whichever you prefer. And you just mix that in a little jar and then that's it. That's the snack. And you can change up the flavour. So if you prefer like a chocolate mousse type thing, then you can use cacao powder. And also in replacement of chia seeds, you can use psyllium husk. So they act in the same way because they absorb water and they create a gel. Mm. So if you don't have chia seeds on hand, you know, you can use psyllium husk, which works just as well and is equally as delicious. And
is it?
Yeah.
And it's cheaper.
And it's a lot cheaper. Yeah, so it's cost effective.
And it does taste as good.
Yeah.
It's chia.
Yeah. When it's mixed up in the pudding.
Well, you have to make it go hard to set.
Yeah, usually if you leave it for about an hour.
In the fridge?
Yeah, in the fridge. Mm. But you can leave it overnight. Usually I'll make up a few days worth, so maybe two or three in little jars in the fridge, and then I can just take that. So sometimes I might have it as a breakfast or sometimes as a snack or even as a dessert if I feel the need to have something a little after dinner.
And if you wanted to sweeten it, you could put some Nature Sweet sugar substitute in it or
Stevia. That sweetens it and you just adjust it depending on how sweet you like. So if you're someone with a sweet tooth and at 3 o'clock in the afternoon you really feel like you need that sugary treat, then putting something like Nature Sweet in the chia pudding would be perfect because it's going to make you feel like you're having that Mars bar, I guess, for an example. But you're not.
No. What about making your own chocolate bars at home? How do you do that?
Okay, so in the past I've made some chocolate with cacao powder, coconut oil and some dates. But dates are also high in sugar, so you wouldn't go overboard with this, but it is a healthier alternative because at least dates have fiber in them, so you know the
and
sugar
minerals,
doesn't absorb
a
as
lot
quick
of minerals,
and minerals, so it is a much healthier alternative. And basically you just blend that together, you pour it in a little tray and you set it in the fridge. It doesn't go necessarily hard like chocolate. I guess it's more of a fudge type texture, but it's really delicious.
So what are those ingredients again?
It's dates, coconut oil and cacao powder.
Oh, that's very
simple. That's it. Three ingredients. And you can top it with things like goji berries or chia seeds or slithered almonds. Or if you're a fan of chili chocolate, you could sprinkle a little bit of cayenne pepper on top.
Mm. And how could you bulk it out with some other ground up nuts?
Yeah, you could. Mm. It would make it more gritty in texture, but you could definitely.
There you go. Very creative nutritionist, our Louise is. Very creative.
I like to eat, so you've got to be creative.
But she's so slim. She looks very svelte, yeah, very slim. So I think you eat a lot, you do. But, yeah, you eat the right things.
Exactly.
That's why you're so slim.
That's important.
Mm. And what about drinking? You know, a lot of people have got fatty liver from drinking things that are full of sugar, like high fructose corn syrup.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And, you know, there's about 20 teaspoons of sugar in a bottle of soft drink.
It
so
is, yeah.
We want to avoid that. I mean, we can make our own lemonade with fresh lemons and limes and some stevia or Nature Sweet.
Yeah, you can.
And just add the gas with the soda water machine. But what other things should we be drinking to heal our liver?
Well, if you're someone that really likes a soft drink and you really like that bubbly taste, then one of the things you could do is have mineral water and put slices of fresh fruit in there. So you could put some grapefruit or orange or lemon, things like mint and basil, berries. These types of things will flavor the mineral water and it'll give you that fizz, which a lot of people that crave soft drink, they're craving that fizz.
I love that fizz.
Yeah, and a lot of people do. So if you want a healthier alternative, having mineral water with some fruit in it, that's a great alternative. Things like green tea and dandelion tea, they're both fantastic for the liver.
What about dandelion coffee? That's excellent.
Oh, I haven't tried that. I've had dandelion root tea, which I love. Yeah. And that's got that sort of nutty taste.
Yes.
And there's a really good one combined with chai that I really like. It's delicious. So that's really good for your liver and, you know, you can drink that throughout the day. And it gives you, well, the green tea will give you a little bit of caffeine, so that could give you a little bit of an energy boost. Water is really important, so obviously drinking water is really good. But if you put a tablespoon of chia seeds or psyllium husk in it, it'll actually bulk it up and it'll make it a bit more filling. So if you're one of those people that might often mistake thirst with hunger, you can just putting a few tablespoons of chia or psyllium in your water bottle will make that gel and it'll actually fill you up a little bit whilst hydrating you. So
very clever.
It's a win-win.
Yes, very clever. and don't forget, you can enjoy tea and coffee. It's the sugar you put in it that's the problem.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's where Nature Sweet comes in handy. So yes. If you feel like a
or
coffee.
Or a tiny bit of honey, just a tiny bit.
Oh, yeah, a little teaspoon of honey is okay.
People assault their taste buds. Their taste buds get so distorted by having intense sweet. So when you back off the sweet, you get used to less sweet.
You do, and I can speak from experience. When I was younger, I used to have 2 teaspoons of sugar in my tea. And now I just have it black, no milk, and I wouldn't want any sugar in it because I've adapted to not having it.
So, yes, you do.
You know, you do train your taste buds. So if it's too difficult for you to suddenly cut it out, that's okay. You know, tomorrow try halving it.
Yes.
And then, you know, over time, halve that again until you end up with none.
That's right, because sugar's addictive.
Yeah, gradually.
You know, it's like a person who smokes. You know, they use a Nicorette gum or spray to keep them going until the blood level of nicotine gets down to where they're no longer controlled by it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we just do it gradually.
And
remember,
what about tyrosine? Can tyrosine help with the cravings?
Yes, tyrosine is an amino acid that helps your brain to make more dopamine. And dopamine is great stuff because it is the neurotransmitter that makes us feel upbeat, rewarded, satisfied, motivated. We need that.
We do.
Yeah.
Particularly if you're going on a diet change, you need that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and sugar will spike your dopamine, but, well, then 5 minutes later...
it crashes.
Yeah.
And you crave more.
It's not sustained.
Exactly.
It's not sustained, yeah. So remember to have a liver check every 12 months because you could have a silent problem with your liver, such as fatty liver, just from eating too much carbohydrate or from being allergic to one of the foods you eat, such as gluten or dairy, or you could have the wrong type of bacteria in your gut, which cause a leaky gut, and that can cause inflammation of the liver. You could have a hidden virus, such as hepatitis B or C, particularly if you are a baby boomer, because as we've found from these reports, there are 1 in 30 baby boomers who are infected with these viruses, and they haven't got a clue. So we must test our liver regularly. And the wonderful thing about the liver, even if you do have some stage of cirrhosis, is you can reverse it. So people who have medium cirrhosis, we can reverse it. People who have advanced end-stage cirrhosis, we cannot. Even though the liver is very forgiving, you know, we do need to check its status. We don't want to wait till all of a sudden one day we are told by a doctor we have advanced cirrhosis, there's nothing we can do. So it can be very insidious. So please have your liver checked every 12 months and stay in tune with us, liverdoctor.com. Send us your questions, your emails. We value that. We love your feedback. And you can ask us for help for your health questions anytime. And we hope you've enjoyed this delicious podcast. I'm feeling quite hungry myself.
Yes, so for chia pudding.
I hope Louise has got a chia pudding or two waiting for me in the fridge.
If you're lucky, I'll share.
Okay. So love your liver and live longer, folks. And have a great day. And thank you, Louise.
Bye, everyone.